Reading from 1 Samuel chapter 12, verse 24. And returning again is my special guest evangelist, Dave Kistler. And this is a great verse, Dave. I really appreciated when you pointed it out to me. And I don't think in all these many years I've had anyone else use this, but it's like, gosh, this is a great verse. And so 1 Samuel 12, 24 states, "But be sure to fear the Lord and serve him faithfully with all your heart. Consider what great things he has done for you." It reminds me a little bit of the Proverbs 3, 5 and 6, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart, lean not." I talked a lot about that the other day, but I love that. "Serve him faithfully with all your heart. Consider what great things he has done for you." We could almost stop the program and list for hours, for days, all the different ways we see God at work, all the ways he's provided for us. And then the mere fact that he sent his son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to provide that eternity with us, to bring hope and healing and to be our great God that he is. So on this Testimony Tuesday, I'm glad you've shared this verse. We'll probably come back to it, but thank you for being available. You were on yesterday and we talked about prayer and we read from the book Prayer. I should say you read from the book. I really appreciated sitting back and listening to it being read. Prayer, the Timeless Secret of High Impact Leaders by Dave Early. That program, along with today's edition of Mark and Friends, the Tuesday edition, is archived at greatnewsradio.org, greatnewsradio.org, also at wluj.org, wluj.org. And I gave a bit of an introduction yesterday, but let me, for those listeners that weren't tuned in, you currently serve as the president of Hope Ministry International, and you've traveled the world for many years. You're known as Evangelist Dave Kistler, and you love to share God's word. You love to equip saints to finish well, but you have a heart for reaching the lost and introducing people to Jesus as their Lord and Savior. You and a team also host a daily program called Stand in the Gap Today, heard, I believe, on like 400 plus stations throughout the country. There's also a website to find out more about your ministry, hopetothehill.com, hopetothehill.com, and also hopeministriesonline.com, hopeministriesonline.com. And you've been preaching for 38 plus years. I think you had said in the last decade, 7 or 8 different times you come to Bible Baptist. You were recently here this last week where you preached a series of messages, kind of like an evangelistic crusade, but also I think you were touching a lot on Revelation, so kind of, yes, a prophecy conference. You love being used of God, and so introduce us to your ministry and also to your faith journey, how God wooed you to himself years ago. Did you grow up in a Christian home? Tell us some of that faith story.
Sure, Mark. My dad was a pastor, born in a Christian home. I'm a twin. I have a twin brother. We're 1 minute apart. To go all the way back to the very beginning, just briefly, my mom had a lot of health issues in 1959 when we were born, and the doctors gave her a 50% chance of making it through the delivery, gave my twin brother and I zero chance to make it. Of course, abortion was not even an option legally back then and would have never been an option for my mom and dad. But God stepped in. We were very small when we were born, but we were born healthy. And I did not know all of this until about my 16th year when my mom and dad said they dedicated us to the Lord from before the time we were even born. And at 16 years of age, having grown up in a pastor's home, seen all the good, all the bad, the devil is a master at maximizing the bad, minimizing the good, I wanted to go into a legal profession, and so that's where I was headed. I was going to go to college to study to practice law, but the Lord arrested my attention through an athletic injury and called me to preach. I came to Christ as Savior as a young man, about 7 years old, 6 to 7 years old, understood I was a sinner. Jesus loved me, died for me, and I gave my heart and life to Christ. But then as my teenage years, like many, many do, I began to stray from the Lord, wanted to go my way. But at 16, the Lord got my attention, surrendered to go into the ministry, went off to Bible college, seminary, graduated from seminary, briefly was a youth director in a large church in Tampa, Florida. I had met my wife in my last seminary years. She is the delight of my life. Second greatest decision ever made after being saved was to marry her. She is a concert pianist, and she trained our children. She's just an amazing, amazing lady. But anyway, we began traveling full time after those years in youth ministry, and for the last 38 years have crisscrossed the United States and the world preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. About 1999, the Lord began burdening my heart for ministry on Capitol Hill. I wanted to take our large tent, four of them now, large tents that we hold crusades under, and I wanted to set it up on the National Mall, which the Lord allowed us to do. Dreamed, you know, of doing that once, never dreamed we would do it three times, and never dreamed that as a result of those three, we would be invited into the Pentagon twice to conduct crusades in the Pentagon. But God did all of that. And through all of that, the Lord burdened my heart for an ongoing ministry on Capitol Hill to appointed and elected officials. So about 10 years ago, we started Hope to the Hill, and we have four now full-time staff members on Capitol Hill just ministering to those on Capitol Hill that serve primarily in the legislative branch. Now, we do have some influence at the High Court, the Supreme Court, and some in the executive branch at the White House, but primarily our focus is the legislature.
And is that where people can find out more about your ministry, Hope to the Hill?
HopeToTheHill.com or HopeMinistriesOnline.com.
Now, what's the difference? Is one where there's online training given, more ministry resources?
Well, HopeMinistriesOnline.com really is more about our crusade ministry. Okay. There's videos there that you can watch, an introduction to our team, a little bit more about what our burden and passion is. HopeToTheHill.com specifically deals with what we do on Capitol Hill, and it introduces you to our Capitol Hill team.
Yeah, I think on yesterday's program, or as we were talking before the program, you were talking about with congressmen, senators, high capacity leaders, they want you in and out. You got to be efficient. You got to be clear. You got to be intelligent. It's got to be well documented. And so for our listeners to be praying for this ministry, what do you hope gets achieved, and how can they pray more focused on what you do?
Well, as far as Capitol Hill ministry, they need to pray that God continues to open doors of opportunity into not just the offices of members of Congress, but primarily into their heart. Mm. You would be amazed, Mark. There are a lot of gospel music lovers on Capitol Hill. You may not think that, but our son is a gospel musician. He is our director of our Hope to the Hill ministry. And he has lots of friends in Southern gospel music and in the music world, period. And so what we've done is brought a lot of these people to Washington, D.C. And just at the end of this month, we're bringing actor Kirk Cameron in. Mm-hmm. And we're doing an evening event at Constitution Hall right across from the White House, and hoping to fill up a 3,500-seat auditorium to preach the gospel both to members of Congress, their staff, their families, and the residents, the people who live inside the Beltway, as they say.
You mentioned to me yesterday that you had three children, and this middle son, I'm always very interested in the middle son. Everyone knows that has tuned in for a period. I'm a middle child, and I always resonate and ask about the middle child. And you said, did he sing with the Hoppers? What was the group?
He did. He sang first tenor for the Hoppers for 2 years during Connie Hopper's cancer diagnosis and treatment. And then he married Amber Nealon of the Nealons. Mm-hmm. And so they don't have any children yet, but my wife jokingly says this, when they do, they're going to be singing machines.
Yes. Yeah. So, and your other two children, I think you said one's a violinist?
Yes. Our oldest daughter is a professional violinist. She's played with symphonies all over the United States and various places around the world. And then she has a solo career as well. And then our youngest daughter is an actress as well as a concert pianist like her mother.
Well, you already did shout outs for your beloved wife, Betsy.
Betsy is her name.
And so you've already proficient out of Husbandry 101. But tell us something else about how God has used Betsy in your ministry, because you travel a lot. I think you've been around the world.
We have. We've been in England, France, Belgium, Scotland, Wales, Canada, Mexico, West Indies, Israel, Africa, and most recently South Korea. Mm. And a good portion of that, Betsy's been able to travel with me. However, when our children were very young, she took on in a big way, just like Billy Graham's wife took on with their children, the responsibility of raising our children. And she did an amazing, amazing job. But we're co-laborers together. Her music ability, but more importantly, her heart for God just dovetails with everything we do. And so I couldn't do it without her, and can't thank God enough for her.
Hmm. For the listener, maybe unfamiliar with some of our Christian terms, but you had said that at an early age, you had given your life to Christ. For that person, that's what does that mean? Or for the senior saint that just wants to revel in connecting back to when they gave their heart to Jesus or gave their life to Jesus, what does that mean and what does that entail?
Well, the scripture says, Mark, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And having grown up in a pastor's home, honestly, there was a time when I thought, you know, everybody else is a sinner, but I'm not, because I'm a pastor's son. But I remember one night, the night I trusted Christ, my mom explaining, Dave, you and Dan, your twin brother, are both sinners. You were born with a sinful nature. And that sinful nature is the thing that must be dealt with. Jesus died to deal with a blood problem you had. And I mean that we were born, passed on to us when we were conceived by our parents, was a sinful nature. And that has to be dealt with or you won't get into God's heaven. And so I understood it for the first time as about a six-year-old boy. I'm a sinner and I need a Savior. And that night I asked Jesus to forgive me, to come into my heart and life, to save me. I didn't fully understand all that was involved in that. I just knew that I was headed a direction I didn't want to go. And the Lord brought me to himself and saved me. Of course, at the age of 16, called me into the ministry. And I've been preaching ever since and haven't regretted a bit of it.
Now, you mentioned that you had that first crusade in Washington, D.C. with the Big Ten. Describe what that was like, because many of our listeners, you know, they're old school. They grew up with the Billy Graham crusades being under a tent, but the younger generation might not be familiar with what's a crusade or how does that even work?
Well, on the heels of the 9/11 attacks in 01, we did our first crusade in the early part of 2002. And we had approached the National Park Service, which governs the use of all land in the D.C. area, and requested to set our tent up on the National Mall. And this is a big tent. It'll seat about 2,000 people.
Wow.
And so the chief of the Park Service, as it turns out, was a committed Christian, and he made a promise to me that he fulfilled. He said, Dave, I will make sure there's nothing else going on the National Mall besides your event. Hmm. And he didn't just say that. He did that. So twice a day, under that massive canvas cathedral, some people call it, we preach the gospel. Once in the afternoon, about 1 o'clock, to capture the lunch traffic that sits outside in the month of June. And it was a brief service, about 30 minutes. And then at night, a more traditional service at 7:30. And we just preached the gospel. We saw scores of people from all over the world, as well as people that live in D.C., come to know Christ as Savior, using an old-fashioned tool like Billy Graham did, a gospel tent.
And did you have special speakers, or were you a part of delivering the message?
I was the primary preacher. And we had a lot of musicians in, but I was the primary preacher, and God just blessed. And again, we didn't just do that once. We did it three additional times.
Well, it kind of makes sense why you picked this verse out of 1 Samuel, which is a great one. And I hope maybe some of our listeners today will put that to memory. 1 Samuel 12, verse 24, but be sure to fear the Lord. I think most of us understand that. And serve him, which that's really what we should be about each and every day, serving the Lord. But serve him faithfully with all your heart, not half-heartedly, not because you feel you have to, but joyfully serve the Lord with all your heart. Consider what great things he has done for you. And that's part of your ministry. I think your ministry desire is proclaiming that good news message, what God has done through the Lord Jesus Christ.
Absolutely, it is. When Jesus died on that cross, was buried, and rose again the third day, that's the greatest message in all the world. That's the message that can transform a life and save a soul from an eternity separated from God forever. So that's the delight of our life. That's what we do, whether it's on Capitol Hill, in Africa, or in a remote place in the United States of America.
Now, if our listeners are going to go to hopetothehill.com, hopetothehill.com, what will they find out? Kind of describe an overview or entice them. Why do they need to stop by this special website?
Well, again, there's some videos there. They'll meet our DC staff, our team, and they'll gain an understanding of what we do with members of Congress. By the way, just recently, CBN, Christian Broadcasting Network, Abigail Robertson, the granddaughter of Pat Robertson, found out about what we were doing on the Hill, and they did about a 5 to 7 minute clip on the 700 Club, where she interviewed some of our DC staff, explained, you know, what we are doing on Capitol Hill. But if they go to that website, they can see that video, they can see others, and they can get an introduction to what we do with members of Congress.
That's hopetothehill.com. Hopetothehill.com, hopetothehill.com. Yeah, I got to start learning to write neatly. Find out more. And in case you just tuned in, this program is archived at greatnewsradio.org and also at wluj.org. But I have evangelist Dave Kistler here in the studio with me. He was a part of yesterday's broadcast when we talked about prayer, and both today and yesterday's program can be accessed anytime at greatnewsradio.org and wluj.org. Dave was in our area last week putting on a special conference at Bible Baptist. It was kind of a evangelistic crusade, and yet it dealt with prophecy. Can you give us a glimpse into what happened those 4 days?
Absolutely, Mark. We, of course, preached the gospel, but we did it in the context of biblical truth and the biblical passages in the Bible dealing with prophetic events, end time events. And we saw a good number of people that trusted Christ as Savior that came. Hmm. I found this out. If you talk about what's going to happen in the end time, is America in the end time? Hmm. Is America even referred to in the end time? And by name, of course, we're not. But are we referred to by some other title? Hmm. That's kind of a hook that arrests people's attention. And God certainly used that. We just opened the scripture and preached what the Bible has to say about end time events. And God used that to draw a good number of people to Christ as Savior, as well as stirring up God's church at Bible Baptist to be more effective and more aggressive about reaching this community for Jesus.
Mm. Well, appreciate your faithfulness these 38 plus years. And I guess 38 of the years has been with your wife, Betsy. So co-laboring together, as I'm sure she's a prayer warrior and involved in your children's lives and certainly being supportive and probably effective in her own ministries, helping in a variety of capacities. It's like my wife, Holly. She fills in and lugs things in and out of the car or helps out or assists or doing meals or obviously praying for me. In our closing couple minutes, how can we pray for your ministry? What would be maybe a couple things we could be mindful of? Are there events coming up or a special emphasis that you hope to achieve?
More than anything, Mark, we need a prayer like Paul requested that we talked about yesterday. We pray for him, and that is that a door of utterance would be granted to him, that we might have a greater opportunity to speak the gospel, whether it be on Capitol Hill or any place around the world. We need God's power, Holy Spirit power on the declaration. We need that. And then I'm going to give you a specific thing coming up here at the end of the month. The 27th through the 30th of July, we're going to be partnering with actor Kirk Cameron with an event that we are hosting on Capitol Hill. Many of our listeners will know that Kirk Cameron, during the 2 years of COVID, did a thing called the American Campfire Revival. Well, we're bringing that American Campfire Revival to Washington, D.C., and it's going to be held there at Constitution Hall, right across from the White House, on the 27th through the 30th. And so folks can pray specifically about that.
Dave, there's so many other things I want to ask because you've traveled all over the world and you've probably seen God work in different cultures under different circumstances. So maybe in the back of your mind, think of maybe an example where you saw God answering prayer or people that were unfamiliar with the gospel coming forward, whether it's been in Africa or Israel or the different parts, the countries you named off about six or eight really, really quick, but also the influence that you're having through your ministry on Capitol Hill. What does that look like, or how have you seen God transform individuals that are now writing policies or laws or things that are really having an influence on all of us?
Well, let me give you an example policy-wise. There is a member of Congress who's now retired. He just retired a couple of months ago, that my son had become very close to as our director of our Capitol Hill ministry. And he had told this member of Congress, "I want you to meet my father. I want my father to meet you." Well, the day I walked into his office and met him the first time, here was his opening statement. He stood up from his desk, walked right over to me, extended his hand to shake my hand, and said this, "Preacher, I cannot vote with my party anymore on," and he mentioned the issue of abortion. Hmm. And I said, "Well, Congressman, that's great." I said, "May I ask you how you came to that conclusion?" He turned around and pointed to his Bible that was lying on his desk. Mm. 16 years prior, he had been given a Bible. It lay 1 year on his desk, and he never read it. He had a few moments of time after the Bible lying there for a year. He picked it up. He opened it. He couldn't get enough of it. Mm. He read more and more and more. He came to faith in Jesus Christ. But for the years that followed that, his life kind of floundered a little bit. Somebody challenged him to a real courageous walk with the Lord. He began immersing himself in the Word of God. And what he told me is this: God showed me that that Bible and some of the policies that I've been supporting are antithetical to each other. Mm. Well, I had in my pocket a rock that I had taken from the Valley of Elah, the brook that runs through the Valley of Elah. You've been there, Mark.
Yeah.
And for whatever reason, the Lord prompted me to take it to D.C. I didn't know why, but whenever he said that, now I knew why. And I took it out of my pocket and I said, "Congressman, I'm going to give you something. I want to tell you where it came from." I told him it came from the very valley where David took down Goliath. And I said, "I want to give you this. And I want to remind you that if you stand by what you've said, you're going to face giants, the likes of which you've never faced before, even from some of your own friends. But the God that gave David victory can give you victory." And he grabbed that mark out of my hand, grabbed my other hand with his other hand and said, "Can we pray together?" And we bowed our head and we had a revival prayer meeting right there in his office, which was absolutely amazing. We've seen scores of people come to know Christ as Savior. Names of people, if I called them out, you would know them, that have asked specific questions. You know, what do I do about this situation in my life? How do I handle this with my family? What do I do about someone who's lied about me? One congressman asked me, I have been lied about by someone that I ran a campaign against, and it's not true. How do I handle that? And we have an open door just to share biblically what they're to do in response to these kinds of issues. And it's far exceeded anything I ever imagined God would allow us to do. And Mark, as far as how we've seen God work in other countries, I want to just mention one thing. Of course, we've traveled a good portion of the world, but right now we're involved in some ministry in the Ukraine. And I won't go into the specifics of that, but the gospel is flowing right into the heart of Ukraine, along with its supplies, both medical supplies, as well as food items, all that which the people of Ukraine need. And that is opening a door for the gospel to be powerfully proclaimed and people coming to know Jesus Christ as Savior. So this is an amazing time to be alive and to be serving Jesus Christ.
You know, I think on your Facebook page, I noticed a couple of those references about Ukraine and some of the things happening. And there are a number of politicians or people in government positions that are believers. And so I guess if people would, well, I can't remember if they can Facebook friend you because you're at capacity, but I was able to try to send a message. But if they stop by Dave, D-A-V-E, Kistler, K-I-S-T-L-E-R, you can see his Facebook page. And there's a lot of different interesting posts of some of the work you're doing and the ways God's at work. And I did see some mentions of things going on in Ukraine. So we'll certainly be praying that up. Listening friends, stop by hopetothehill.com. HopeToTheHill.com or HopeMinistriesOnline.com, HopeMinistriesOnline.com. With me in the studio yesterday and today for the Monday and Tuesday edition of Mark and Friends is Evangelist Dave Kistler, and we appreciate the time carving it out and the work God did in and through you this past week in the greater Champaign-Urbana area at Bible Baptist. Next time you're in, give us a week or two notice so we can promote it and be involved, and we appreciate the work you're doing right in our country's capital, influence that can be done as these people, these high-profile leaders, these congressmen, senators, people in the Supreme Court, the various staffers, if they can come to Christ and catch a vision what Jesus would want them to do through their work and through the legislation, it can really change this community, this society. So we'll be praying you up in the days ahead, Dave, and thank you for being available. And listener, thank you for participating in today's broadcast by listening and maybe passing on the information or telling a friend that you know that they need to stop by HopeToTheHill.com, HopeToTheHill.com. Well, thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of our radio listening family. This is Mark Burns and Dave Kistler with the Ministry of Great News Media. God bless you and have a great day and night.